The next case is 96-1576, State of Ohio versus Rasheem Matthews.
Yes, good morning, Mayor, this is Chief Justice.
Mr. Satt.
So also a very unusual case. Unusual case because it's the first time the state saw the appeal, the granting of a motion for a new trial. I say unusual from a procedural standpoint that Rasheem Matthews is a killer, and he is a killer for the L.A. Crips, which is a meeting in the Los Angeles area. He is the chief enforcement person around the country who does the killings. He came to the Cleveland area, and he met a victim by the name of Wayne Price, who went down into that area to purchase some narcotics. There was an egg-throwing incident, and then Mr. Price met his death at the hands of LBJ. There was an eyewitness to this murder. His name was Roulette. There was also a jailhouse snitch by the name of Paxton. At the time of the trial, Assistant County Prosecutor Carmen Marino told the jury that there were no deals met between Roulette and Paxton. Subsequently, after the second jury found the defendant guilty, a whole flurry of motions started to take place. Motion number one was an open motion for a direct appeal, and also coupled with that direct appeal was a motion for a new trial, which was denied by the trial judge. In that Court of Appeals opinion issued by the 8th Appellate District, the testimony of Roulette and Paxton, and their later receiving consideration post-trial, became an issue which disturbed one member of the appellate court, but not two members of the appellate court. So they came down and they decided that the motion for a new trial was properly denied, despite the fact that Chairman Marino may have engaged in some post-trial consideration. So that this, quote, evidence had already been determined and listened to and ruled upon by the 8th District Appellate Court. Subsequent to that,
you said despite the fact that Carmen Marino may have been in the process.
May have made a post-trial promise. Our consideration. I say that because LAJ is so feared that the facts disclosed that it was some corrections officer that introduced the jailhouse snitch, Paxton, to LBJ. And so the fear of LBJ getting even and killing either Roulette or Paxton was very, very real post-trial. And on that basis, it's my understanding that Mr. Marino listened to the great fear expressed by the actions of this man and then offered him some leniency to Paxton and leniency to Roulette. And that fear was real, Justice Harper, extremely real. But in any event, this issue was fully determined by the Court of Appeals and became, under our system of law, res judicata. And now, after that appeal was heard, the second motion for a new trial was filed. Second motion for a new trial was denied. There was then a third motion for a new trial. And the newly discovered evidence that all these motions alluded to was some type of post-trial consideration given by Carmen Marino to both Roulette and Paxton. Now, three previous motions for a new trial were denied. Of course, in 5 years, Rasheem Matthews, the defendant in this particular case, spent 5 years in jail. And on the fourth try, and 5 years later, the trial judge held a quick hearing, and at that hearing, simply stated that Mr. Matthews was the victim of a terrible injustice and ordered a new trial. And despite the fact that the prosecution...
Same judge, different judge.
Same judge. Judge Daniel Gall. And despite the three previous denials, on the fourth try and 5 years later, after Rasheem Matthews had been sentenced, a motion for a new trial has been granted in this particular case. Needless to say that this is absolutely abhorrent to our system of finality and our doctrines of repose. But nonetheless, I sought at that time, that was my first direct intervention in the case, I sought to appeal the granting of the motion for a new trial.
And at that point is why we're here.
Correct, Justice Douglas.
The issue then, and I need to know, and I'm not clear from your brief, are you saying this is an appeal as of right under 2945-67?
Absolutely.
Or is it an appeal that the Court of Appeals might entertain if they so chose?
It's an appeal as of right as under 2505.02, which reads the granting of a motion for a new trial as a final appeal of order. And that provision, that statute...
Yeah, but there are certain criteria in 2505.02 that have to be met.
Correct.
It has to determine the action and prevent a judgment. Doesn't do that here, does it?
Correct.
Okay. Is it a special proceeding?
Special proceeding.
How?
Because of
it's a regular, regular run-of-the-mill criminal case, isn't it?
Civil rules, which is counterpart, I believe it's Civil Rule 58, and it's counterpart Criminal Rule 33, are virtually identical except for the damage issue.
We're talking about the criteria set up in 2505.02.
Right.
If you concede, if you say that it's an appeal as of right, clearly 2505, clearly 2945-67 does not make this an appeal as of right, does it?
2945-67 does not make this as of right.
Okay, so if it's not as of right, it isn't a motion to suppress.
Right.
Okay. Then it has to be one that the Court of Appeals can grant.
Correct.
And they didn't here.
They did grant it, and I filed a notice of appeal in the alternative, either as of right or as of leave.
Yeah. But you're saying you
but
agree...
I'm saying that it is as of right, Justice Douglas.
Oh, now we're back to it is as of right.
Correct. But not under 2945-67, under 2505-02 and 03.
Because it is a final appealable order, it doesn't make any difference whether it's an appeal by the state.
Correct.
Or not. It's a 29, you say it's a 2505-02. Okay, then we have to look at the criteria in 2505-02.
It meets the criteria.
All right, where? Is it a, it isn't a special proceeding.
It's a granting of a motion for the trial set forth in the rule. The rule itself reads...
Now you've got it.
The rule itself reads...
It's the third prong, isn't it?
Pardon me?
It's the third prong of 2505-02, which is?
Which is that the grants new trial is a final order that may be reviewed and or modified or reversed with or without retrial.
My question is, when did this Court of Appeals start having authority, as the Supreme Court does, in determining what cases they're going to hear or not? If it's a final appealable order, don't they have to hear the case? When you appeal a case to the Court of Appeals, they hear all the cases.
Correct.
The only way they can dismiss it if it is not a final appealable order.
Correct. But I look at that statute 2505-02. The argument was posed in the notice of appeal in the alternative. Under 2505-02, that applies to criminal and civil cases.
Yeah, but my point is, Mr. Saad, the Court of Appeals was looking at 2945-67.
Right.
And said, this is not an appeal as of right, it's one within our discretion, and we deny.
Right.
Your argument is, that doesn't have anything to do with 2945-67. It's
right.
A 2505-02 final appealable order, and therefore there is no discretion,
correct,
as Justice Resnick points out.
That's correct. Okay. And that is the dual dichotomy that I put in the second proposition of law for this court to adopt. If this court found that it was not a direct appeal as a right, then I would say, and I said quite boldly, that the appellate court abuses discretion in not allowing this case in for review.
Okay, and the record, it's not here in brief, but the record will reflect that you did set forth that statute in your notice of appeal
See, that's what confuses it, Mr. Sad, because what you did, you, in structuring it in the alternative, you led the appellate court to decide under 29-45-67. And once you decided under that, you've got a long road to haul if you say that we're going to reverse the Court of Appeals on a discretionary appeal, that they have a right under 29-45. So as soon as you said 29-45-67, they said, appeal denied. Did you argue 25-05-02 to them originally?
Yes, originally I did. It's rated, stated right in the notice of appeal. And what bothers me is the state's prevented from getting justice in this particular case. That's what I'm here for. How in the name of justice can you have three previous motions for a new trial granted, I mean denied, and then come up a fourth time as a dissent? And this is exactly what the state's posture is. If it's as of right, then there's a tremendous abuse of discretion in the Court of Appeals for not taking it in. And if my theory is correct, 25-05-02 applies to civil as well as criminal cases, then it's 25-05-03 that automatically is as of right. And there's cases that hold that. One is State versus Roberts, one is State versus Nichols, and one is State versus Brunswick. All three of those cases hold that 25-05-02 and 25-05-03 apply to civil and criminal cases. And you see the defendant in this particular case is a classic example of it. Here the defendant files his first motion for a new trial, and he gets a complete review of it in the Court of Appeals, and then it's denied. And so then 5 years later, the state is coming up here and asking for the same favor. And the court, I couldn't find a case that said the granting of a motion for a new trial, as simple as it sounds, can be appealable by the state.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to ask you next. Do you have any case at all that shows that 25-05-02 can be or should not be applied to criminal appeals?
I do. I got State versus Roberts. That's 6 Ohio, opinion 2nd, 1957. Also 106 Ohio, appellate 30. I have State versus Nichols.
What do they hold? Because you haven't cited
them. They hold that. I'll read the holding of the...
No, you don't have to read the whole thing. You haven't cited them in your brief, have you?
I did not cite them in the brief.
Okay.
It says section 25-05-02, revised code defining the final order is applicable to appeals in criminal cases as well as in civil cases. That's the highlighted portion.
Yeah, I understand. And that's your best authority for this?
That's my best authority.
Because...
And I could not find a case.
Can you find a case any place that says that it isn't applicable to criminal cases?
No, I did not find that.
And yet the 29-45-67 sets forth when a prosecutor may appeal, right?
That's a grant of some jurisdiction.
Well,
state.
It speaks
it's
to
not exclusive.
It speaks to what appeals are of right and what are discretionary.
Right.
And you do not fit. This case doesn't fit, the grant that we have does not fit within the category, the list set forth in that statute for appeals of right.
Correct.
So it has to fit within the discretionary area of
correct.
That statute.
Correct. Yeah, then
and this is what, I mean, we do this kind of, we have to determine which of these statutes, if they conflict, which one should apply.
To help you determine that are the cases that I mentioned and also the statutory construction. And that simply
the
states...
The cases that you mentioned are courts of appeals cases that they...
Pardon
me?
From which courts do they come?
This one comes from the Court of Appeals of Clark County, and the other two, one is the Supreme Court of Ohio case, and the third is State versus Brunswick and Ohio appellate case. They're ancient cases, but they do recognize that the predecessors to 25-05-02 are applicable to civil as well as criminal. And then finally, I might state that we look at the plain and unambiguous words of section 25-05-02 and 03, and we come to the conclusion that an unambiguous statute is to be applied, not interpreted, and that particular section is absolutely crystal clear in its formulation. It's a final appeal.
Isn't 29-45-67 also unambiguous? And
it's unambiguous, but it does not, Justice Cook, give all the situations an I'm saying that this court should understand the one glaring deficiency of that statute, and it can do so without violating 2945-67, and that is to expand 2505.02 and hold that the granting of a new trial is the final appealable order by the state.
We have to expand it to do that?
Pardon me?
You said we have to expand?
Not expand it, but just say it.
Yeah, how is that expanding?
No expansion of it, it's there. And it comports with fundamental justice. Why should we interpret a statute to come up with absurd and grotesque results? That's what these great cases say. Why does the defendant have a right to appeal his denial of a motion for a new trial, and the state, on the Congress, has absolutely no right to appeal the granting of a motion for a new trial? And that's why it leads to the absurd notice of appeal that I had to file by saying, hey, I have a right to do this, or I'm so scared that I'm not going to have that right that I have to file a discretionary leave to appeal. It doesn't make sense. Better practice and the better interpretation of 2505.02 is that the final appealable order, which is a granting of a new trial, should be applied to the state.
2502, you know, sets forth what is a final order.
Correct.
And
03.
Every order that is appealed has to be final, right?
Correct.
So under 2945.67, of course, only final orders can be appealed.
Correct. And 25, Justice Code 2505.03 states that they can be, all these final orders can be appealed.
2502 defines a final order, and we know that the granting of a new trial then is a final order. And then you go to the other statute, 2945, to determine when the state may appeal a final, which final orders the state may appeal, right? And which may be appealed.
But it's not a final order, Justice. I don't think it's the final limitation on 2505.03. I believe that it should be expanded, or as I put it to an alternative to this court, that this court can still be determined that the appellate court uses discretion under the factors set forth today. Thank you,
Mr. Saad. The appellee did not file a brief, so appellee will not argue. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.